You are listening to the Victory Podcast. To find out more about us or to listen online, please visit us at victorymtp.com.
We're in week number two of a series called Relationships Matter. And you know what happens in our life when relationships are good? It just seems like things are smoother. Seems like life is better. Seems like, you know, joy and peace. But when relationships are not good, it just messes with everything, doesn't it? You ever notice that? The house is just kind of, you know, your home is just kind of, yeah, not quite right. At workplace, when there's lots of strife in the workplace, you know, it's just like, I don't even want to go to work. You know, it's no fun when our relationships are messed up. And the reason, I really believe the reason for that is because you and I literally were created for good relationship with the Lord. But we know everything got messed up with the fall of man, right? Do you know, not only did death, sickness, and disease come in with the fall of man, and mosquitoes. that's just me, okay? But strife and bitterness and anger and all the negative emotions, fear, worry, anxieties, it also came in with the fall of man. Do you know that when God created everything, it was perfect. It was good. But we live in a fallen world, right? Now, Jesus made a way for you and I through his death, his burial, and his resurrection that we could be restored and we could live victoriously. But we're not to the point in time where we don't fight those things. Now, after Jesus comes and gets us, we'll have a time when there's no more sickness, there's no more disease, there's no more death. Death is the last thing that's overcome. And I look forward to that point. Anybody else? But this life we're living in right now, we deal with negative emotions on a daily basis. And I want you to understand that your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers, with the Lord are affected by your emotions. How many of you think that if emotions have those kind of impact on our life, that maybe we ought to understand them a little bit? Maybe we ought to know how to work with them and how to manage them. Anybody at all? Do you know that God has a lot to say about your emotions and my emotions? I like it when my emotions are peaceful and joyful. Anybody else? You know, I love it when my emotions are lining up with the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody else? How about when our emotions are lining up with the works of the flesh and okay, never mind. We'll just So let's just look into it a little bit today, because emotions affect our relationships, I think, more than we recognize. Now, may I also just say something up front? My desire and the Lord's desire, the Lord's desire and my desire are that you would be blessed. God's plan for your life is that your life would be one full of joy, full of fulfillment, not full of all the anxieties and the fears and the worries and the depression and all these other things. But God's desire is that, you know, that none of us would ever have cancer either. And God's desire is that none of us would ever have heart disease or high blood pressure or any of these other things. Are you with me? God wants your life blessed. But we live in a fallen world and we deal with these things, do we not? I want you to know that just as much, and I'm saying these things up front because, listen, the end result God wants for your life is that you're fulfilled in Him, that you're blessed in Him, that you're strong in Him, and that the fruit of the Spirit is flowing in your life. But I want you to know that your life and my life is not an easy life here on planet Earth, and that there's plenty of challenge. Jesus Himself even says, hey, listen, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. Your spouse is going to be weird sometimes. Your kids are going to appear like they're demon-possessed sometimes. I said appear. You're going to have financial challenges. You're going to have relational challenges. You're going to have sickness and disease come against you. Take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. He is the answer. I'm going to spend the whole time building up for the message. Here's what I want you to understand. That mental illness is real. If someone came to you and said, the doctor said that I have cancer, most of you in here would, you know, if you're believers, you'd lay hands on them, you'd pray for them, you'd encourage them, and they would walk away from you feeling like you're on their side. Now, if someone came to you and they said, I am struggling with depression, some of you in here would say, suck it up, buttercup. Now listen, I understand. Some of those people that came to you do need to suck it up, buttercup. But some of those people are dealing with real issues, just as real as cancer, just as real as high blood pressure, just as real as heart disease, just as real. And I think the church world needs to recognize that it is real as well. And that we need to have compassion and encourage. You know, I really would like to walk deeper into that subject, but it's going to get away from relationships. We in the church, actually in the world, we always judge people in areas that we have never struggled with. And we never judge people in areas that we personally have struggled with before. Can I get an amen out of anybody in here? And we as a church ought to be the most compassionate, most loving, most open-armed, most encouraging, most add-value people on planet Earth. Amen? And when we truly do that, people are going to run to the church instead of away from the church. Amen? All right, there's the build-up. I hope I got time for the message today. Let's get into it. Unchecked negative emotions can have some very devastating effects in our life. What we all need to recognize, okay, first of all, who has ever had a negative emotion in their life? If your hand doesn't go up, I'm going to come back and slap you. We all have a negative emotion. Yes, it is. We all deal with this stuff, okay? And what I want us to do today is just recognize it, I want us to see that there's effects from it. I want us to see that there are decisions that need to be made. Yes, even if you're dealing with PTSD, okay, and maybe a doctor has prescribed some medication for you, that's okay. You still need this stuff. And if you are the most solid person, you don't have any hiccups from your childhood. You know what? I still have issues in my life from my childhood that I recognize. And it's okay. God has worked me through little by little by little by little through my whole life. He's freed me up from a whole lot of stuff. But I'm not going to stand up here today and lie to you and say that what happened in my childhood doesn't once in a while affect my relationships today. But I'm not going to let it dominate me. Amen? Now, God's desire is that your life would be one of blessing. In James chapter 3, verse 16, I want to talk about the effects of unmanaged negative emotions in our relationships. This is what I want to talk about. We need to be aware of negative emotions and how to deal with them. Some of the effects: where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. When I choose to become offended, when I choose to become angry with my spouse or anybody else, it's just like I open a door to the enemy and say, hey, you got anything else you can bring into my house and into my relationships? How many of you would purposely throw the door open to the enemy? No hands. When we choose strife and bitterness, we throw a door open. And we say, bring in the whole mess. Now listen, if you and I recognize that, if just before I bite my wife's head off, if I thought, I don't want everything else that's coming in with this, how many of you think I might keep my mouth shut? How many of you think if we all recognize that strife and bitterness and anger, negative emotions as a whole, are not going to add value to the relationships in my life? See, we need to recognize these are not things to play with. They're things to recognize. And God's word is all about everything in the kingdom of God really boils down to submit to God, resist the enemy, and he'll flee. Okay? Our whole life is submitting to God, submitting to his word, trusting in his word, believing in his word. When we recognize the enemy is trying to come in, we resist it with the word of God. We speak to the mountains. We call things that are not as though they were. Those are the things we're doing. We're submitting to God. We're resisting those things that are not of God. But recognize this. It is a lifelong process. See, some of us will do it for a week, and because we are not totally free as a bird, we give up on it. But I want you to know that this principle of submit to God, resist the enemy, is a lifelong process. And through recognizing that, you can develop some spiritual momentum in your life. You really can. And you can begin to experience the goodness of God. Hebrews 12:14 says this, pursue peace with all people. Oh, I really love the current culture that we're in. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to be positive right now. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. I mentioned this last week, that the Lord had placed in my heart to share with you that when people become offended at others, that in a way their soul becomes defiled. And the scripture backs up what I said last week. It says, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. And really what we want to do is not take the bait, not take the temptation. Offenses are a temptation. Offenses are a trap that the enemy is trying to pull us into. And when we take that, then the negative emotions spring out of that. Are you with me? Not all negative emotions, but some of the negative emotions. And there's a heaviness that comes into our life. Let's look at the decision time and what to do when we recognize these things. And this is what the series really is about, is getting you and I to recognize. Man, I remember when Andrew Womack preached a message on unconditional love, and I began to recognize, wow, I've got some choices I can make in my relationships that I don't always have to go with these negative emotions. I don't always have to go with these feelings. And I can begin to actually make a choice to love my wife even when we're different. Amen? I can make a decision to love someone that believes differently than I do. A friend, someone at work that always says stupid things. I can choose to love them rather than get angry with them. This rocked my world that I actually could begin to choose these things. Choose wisely. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Another translation says, you, brothers and sisters, have been called to freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. But through love serve one another. For all the laws summed up or fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. What I hear in this scripture is that you have some choices. Some of us, the reason negative emotions are so heavy in our life is because at the point we should have been deciding which direction to go, we have become so knee-jerk, so automatic, because we're not recognizing that point of contact. Is anybody getting this morning? It is much simpler to develop the ability by the Holy Spirit. I double dog dare you today in prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware before you dive off the deep end with emotions. I double dog dare you. And some of you are going to come to church next week, and you're going to have these little wounds on your tongue because your tongue was in full gear, ready to go, and the Holy Spirit said something, and you bit your tongue. And you yielded to the voice of the Holy Spirit rather than running down a road of negative emotions that do not add value to your relationships. And let me say this, I really believe our relationship with the Lord reflects our relationships around us. Let me say it another way. I believe the tighter our relationship is with the Lord, the better our relationships will be around us. Our relationship with the Lord, it doesn't require talking nonstop. It requires reading His Word to identify His character and who He is. It's praying, it's interceding, it's spending some quiet time with Him. And the relationships around us are very similar. Because if we're just running over people all the time, and I am an expert at running over people, because I am a high D personality, and my wife and my kids would testify that I'm different now than I was 40 years ago. Have I arrived? Absolutely not. I have to say that. Angie's on the front row. I have to say that. But there has been change, and there has been growth. Can I get an amen out of anybody else that's been walking with the Lord for a while? But what we're doing is, see, we're recognizing that I have a choice in these times, and I don't always have to take it over in the wrong ditch. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first God's way of doing things. What is God's way of doing things? If we're going to emulate Jesus, like my brother Chris was preaching about up here, if we're going to emulate Jesus, you didn't find Jesus a whole lot of times just busting out and ripping on people. I mean, He did on the Pharisees, on the religious people. But even then, it was different than what we experience. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is our own trouble. Worry is a negative emotion, by the way. Okay? And every one of us experience worry. Every one of us are tempted to spend more time worrying than we should. But when the worry begins, it's decision time. It is submit to God, resist the worry, and it shall flee. When discouragement comes, submit to God. In other words, run to God, run to His Word. We ought to have this knee-jerk reaction that automatically turns to our Heavenly Father at those points, rather than a knee-jerk reaction that points us towards the work of the flesh, the work of the enemy. Now, I'm not trying to be heavy on you this morning. I'm trying to help us, me included. I'm trying to help us come to a point where our life is a life of peace, a life of joy, a life where we are connected, we're walking with the Holy Spirit, we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we're not stabbing everybody around us, we're not wounding people around us, but we're choosing to submit to God, resist the negative emotions, and be a blessing even when I had to bite my tongue. Take a breath. One of the small groups or life groups that we have happening is called trauma-informed communications. Emmanuel's doing this class. There's many folks in here that would benefit, whether you've been through trauma and deal with a lot of negative emotions, or maybe you're living with somebody. Do you know when we come into marriage, a lot of us bring baggage into our marriages? All right, let's move on. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is saying, you're always going to be tempted to let your heart be troubled. Choose differently. Have I got this one down 100%? No. I was at 30% at one time. I think I'm at 55% now. Why do I keep saying stuff like that? Because I want you to know it's a journey. I want you to know that sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back, and it's okay. It's okay that you aren't completely healed yet. It's okay you're not completely free yet. It's okay. Stay in the fight. Don't give up. Keep progressing. James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Oh, a moment of silence for that one. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That scripture right there should be a scripture that we meditate on. If you want relationships around you to improve, if you would like to get better, I want to get better. Does anybody else want to get better? I feel like this is a full-time journey of life. It really is. And listen, when it's not, you're going backwards with it. Because you either thought you arrived or you got discouraged and you gave up. But I want you to continue to pursue this stuff. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. I should be quicker to listen to the Holy Spirit. I should be quicker to listen to my wife. I should be quicker to listen to those around me rather than always having to have, you know, how we are. Let's talk about actions for a minute. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and you've all got this scripture. You all know this scripture, but it's huge. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. In other words, you're in a battle, I'm in a battle. Okay? Now look what we talk about. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's back to that decision time, and now I take some action steps. I was just tempted to get mad, but Pastor talked about it. I'm going to bite my tongue for a minute. I'm just going to stop for a minute. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to get before the Lord. I'm going to... I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to resist my flesh, resist the enemy. Now listen. When you mess that up 4 times in a row, when you mess that up 40 times in a row, don't give up. The enemy loves it when you mess up, and then he brings you into condemnation and guilt, negative emotions. See, God wants us to be free from negative emotions. If you really are in relationship with the Lord, you're not going to go to condemnation and guilt, because you know the Lord's not mad at you. You know he loves you. You know he knows you're weird. He knows your weirdness more than you know your weirdness. He gets a kick out of your weirdness. All right. We have a bee's nest at our house. That's that time of year, right? And it's not one that you can see. You know, when we had the house built and they bent some metal, aluminum around the headers and stuff on the covered porch, you know, there's just a little crack there beside the post, and I should have caulked it, but I didn't, and so these bees, they go in there. Listen, I sprayed foam in there to really seal it up. The little buggers chewed a hole through it. They're persistent. And I've been fighting these guys for a while now. I'm trying to submit to God. I'm trying to resist these bees. And they're relentless. I'm not free of these bees yet. But I believe I will be. Because as soon as it gets cold, I'm either going to unconstruct that area, or I'm going to go up in the attic and at least get a look at what's going on and where these guys are at. And this stronghold that they currently have is going to change. It hasn't changed yet, but I guarantee you, it's going to change. Some of you have bees. Some of you have strongholds in your life. I want you to walk away today believing by the power of the Holy Spirit it's going to change. It might not change with the first attempt, but it's going to change. Your health is going to get better. Your relationships are going to get better. Your finances are going to get better. God has a way, and even though you don't see it yet, you don't feel it yet, you keep submitting to God, resisting the enemy, resisting the negative emotions, and it will flee. A couple of things here just on practical steps for managing negative emotions. And I've already kind of preached this, and I want to use the acronym STOP, S-T-O-P. I've used it before. Stop, step back, don't act immediately. Just pause, take a breath. The O, observe. What am I thinking and feeling, and where is the focus of my attention right now? We just got to stop, step back, and then observe. Just the fact of attempting to do this is, by the way, going to divert your thought process. Instead of focusing on an offense, instead of focusing on the thing that you're worrying about, instead of focusing on the thing that you're depressed about, it'll bring you back to a different observation. The T was, take a breath, by the way. The O was observe. All my high C personalities are going, I'm done. He's he is messed up. The P, pull back, put some perspective. pray. See the situation as an outside observer. You know, if we did that, half the time you'd start laughing. How stupid the situation is. How important is it right now? And how important will it be in 6 months? Is my reaction in proportion to the actual event? Is this a major or a minor? First time I heard that preached was probably 30 years ago. Don't major on the minors. And oh, by the way, it's all minors. You say, no, it's not. I've got a loved one that is dying right now. In the scope of eternity, it's a blimp. Our life is but a vapor. Are you following me? I got to close. I'm late. Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. It'll guard your minds through Christ Jesus. Better relationships in our life, both with the Lord and with people around us, begin with you. It begins with me. I can't change the people around me, but I can get better. How many of us in here today say, I can get better? Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Victory Podcast. To learn more about connecting with us or supporting our ministry, please visit us at victorymtp.com.